This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official Raiders podcast, brought to you by Silver and Black Productions. I'm your host, JT. The 5-2 Raiders take on the 3-3 Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the road in Tampa. Another great opportunity for the Raiders to win a game on the road. The Silver and Black are now 4-0 on the road, coming off that impressive win against the Jacksonville Jaguars in a game that the Raiders, as we talked about, were supposed to win, but they took care of business. They played a solid game, especially on defense, and got out of Jacksonville with the victory 33-16. What was unique about that is that they stayed on the coast of Florida, went up to Sarasota to get ready for Tampa Bay, as Tampa Bay was on the other side of the country on one of their longest road trips of the year, taking on the 49ers, a game that they won by the score of 34-17. So the Raiders now have an opportunity to pounce and go to 5-0 on the road. Everybody's talking about the Raiders and their ability now to win on the road. We've talked about this all year long from Napa and all of these podcasts that the Raiders now are a different team on the road. They treat these trips as business trips. They take care of business. It's not about sightseeing and photo opportunities. It's about preparing. And as we begin, I want to congratulate everyone behind the scenes of the Silver and Black. And as I've been talking to them this week, preparing for this podcast, the job that the IT technical support did and the film crew and everybody on the ground to make this seamless for the Raiders is a very important point. When the Raiders were done, packed up, leaving the locker room in Jacksonville, heading on their trip to Sarasota to the Ritz-Carlton, everything was waiting for them. Computers, practice rooms, meeting rooms, the field, the buses. Everybody made sure that the Raiders would be comfortable, that the coaches wouldn't have to miss a beat with that preparation. And that's a really big, important part of this team, and one that I'm proud to see up close, how not just the players, not just the general manager, the coaches, even the owner, but how the support staff does an amazing job getting this team prepared to play. And they're going to need that now as they take on the Buccaneers, who have Jameis Winston at quarterback. He threw for 269 yards and 3 touchdowns against the 49ers. And Winston is a really good player. You saw what he did at Florida State, how great of a player he was there. If he has a clean pocket, he's able to set his feet and throw, and he's got one of the best arms in all of football. Jaquizz Rodgers is having an amazing Pro Bowl season at running back. He's coming off a game where he had 26 carries for 154 yards. So now Tampa Bay, and especially with Mike Evans at wide receiver, they have a three-headed monster on the offensive side. But Rodgers, to me, is the big concern because of what he's doing this year. Not getting into the end zone, but amassing yards and now starting to run downhill. In his last couple of games, he's been really good, and he's playing hard, and he's playing at a very fast pace. And the Raiders are going to have to do a big job trying to slow him down, because the last game, 154 yards, before that, 101 at Carolina. He's the type of back that they're going to. He's a big-time player. I talked to Derek Carr earlier in the week on Monday, and he knows him very well from their days growing up as kids in Houston and how good of a player he's going to be. Speaking of Derek Carr, again, playing great. In that game, he only threw for 200 yards, but he made great decisions, especially finding Crabtree and making big plays when they had to. And the Raiders, yeah, they ran clock in the second half of that game. They made sure that they held on to that lead, and they got out of Jacksonville with a win. That's what needed to happen, and the Raiders were able to pull it off. And, hey, congratulations to Marquette King for another amazing game. Sebastian Janikowski with 15 points. Special teams is a difference maker, and the Raiders' defense improved in that game and won another big game. Now, statistically, the Raider defense has a lot to build on and go up. They're still ranked 32nd overall in total defense at 430 yards a game. They're still ranked 32nd in the league in pass defense at 302 yards a game. But the one stat I want you to remember going into this contest, which is really important, the Raiders are +8 in turnover ratio. That's second, tied for second in the entire NFL. The Buccaneers are -3 in turnover differential. And that's important because that's 23rd in the league. And I spent all week long talking about the Raiders and penalty yards. Their penalties at 63 are the worst in the NFL. I talked to Carr about it, and I talked to insiders that that has to be fixed. And look for the Raiders to play a cleaner game if they're going to win against the Buccaneers. For the Buccaneers, they're better on offense than they are on defense. They rank 12th in total offense, 11th in rushing offense. They're running the ball 115 yards a game, pretty similar to the Raiders at 114.9. But what they do well is they're really good when it comes to third down offense, moving the chains, and their total defense is ranked 13th. They're pretty good, and their third down defense is the second best in the entire NFL. So Derek Carr and Crabtree and Cooper and Latavius. Latavius, who, by the way, from Florida, where he played college, had two touchdowns in that game. Everyone's going to have to play well. This is a game where the Raiders, I really think, are ready to break out. They haven't played a complete football game this year. They played well over 4 6-minute in bunches, but they haven't had that game where from the opening kickoff to the last second where they were dominant. This would be a good spot for them to do it. Believe me, no one on the Raider team is thinking about Denver on Sunday night. They're thinking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Raider fans who went to Jacksonville are going to the Bay Area, Tampa, and there's an enormous crew waiting for the Raiders in Tampa as I'll be on the sidelines for this game, hoping that the Raiders go to 5-0 on the road and 6-2 on the year. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome back to the official Raiders podcast, Rich Eisen, from his radio career to the great work at NFL Network. Rich, if I told you 4-0 on the road, 5-2 overall, it looks like the silver and black are back.
I would have believed 5-2 overall, I'll be honest with you, because of the bandwagon, how full it was going into the season and how, you know, the Carr, Cooper, Latavius, triumvirate was ready to take that next step. But I would not have believed 5-2 with 4-0 on the road and Murray missing a couple of games with a toe injury. That is the surprising element of this. And 5-2 with the defense being so susceptible to the pass and certainly on the scoreboard in every facet over the first 3-4 weeks of the season. But Del Rio's doing a great job. I just love the risks that he takes. The risks that he takes are smart risks because they were situationally smart. And also smart in terms of the style that the Raider fan base responds to. I think they're smart risks and they've paid off. You know, they've been 7 on the come out roll. You know, it's been great.
You know, Rich, I think it's interesting you mentioned the defense too, and even with the win against Jacksonville, statistically, they're still 32nd in total defense and 32nd in pass defense, but they're making plays and getting off the field in some of these big games at Nashville against the Titans when they had to make a big play against the Jaguars. Do you think that Ken Norton Jr. and Jack Del Rio are lining up these guys correctly and eventually they're going to get better and better as we go from week to week?
Well, I mean, I'm not studying this from a film standpoint, to be honest with you. I watch all the games. I see pretty much every down. And the reason why they're 32nd overall still, despite what they did with Jacksonville, is because of how horrible it was to begin with. I think it's just only going to start to normalize out soon. Obviously, Ken, it's not just Ken, too. There's Rod Woodson back there, who's an assistant to the assistant. Norton and Kent, you know, and the rest of that staff as a whole, they know what they're doing and what they have. And I think it's only a matter of time till Khalil Mack starts taking games over, like personally. And this might be the week with Jameis Winston, who's had some mistake prone games. And I think it'll help out the Raiders to not make transcontinental flights, you know, three time zones away like they've been doing. I mean, they've had a lot of those on the schedule this year, and the league jammed it all in the first half of the season, and that's the amazing aspect of the 4-0. I mean, they're winning. They're not just winning road games. They are winning time zone games that the Raiders for a long time, a decade plus, had trouble winning in the 1 o'clock Eastern windows. And you're doing it with regularity. So sooner rather than later, they'll win more games than not in the black hole. And it looks good, man. I know in a couple of weeks, there's that Sunday night game with the Broncos coming in. That's very exciting. You know, I know that the Raiders haven't had a Sunday night game in forever and a day. And it's the toughest division in football. I truly believe it. You know, I know the NFC East has every team above 500 right now. But, you know, the way that the Raiders have been playing and the Broncos and the Chiefs look and Phillip Rivers and that Chargers team is the most exciting team in football, I believe. They play the most exciting games. That's for sure. And somebody who's got to talk about this for a living every single day, I wish the games have, as a whole would be as exciting as the ones the Chargers have played. And as you know, the one home win for the Raiders was aided in the fact that the Chargers' bad news bears that snap on a game-tying field goal late.
Richard.
So, you know, it's an exciting division, JT, and the Raiders are a reason why.
Rich Eisen is our guest. Rich, you were real tight with fellow Michigan alumni Charles Woodson. You were there at his last game. You look at his career, the leadership now, the void in the secondary. They bring in Reggie Nelson, who last year was tied for the league with 8 interceptions, and Carl Joseph, another first-round pick by Reggie McKenzie. So they're trying to upgrade that secondary, but life's different without Woodson. Do you think Khalil Mack is morphing into that type of leader along with Bruce Irvin and some of the veterans they have?
Well, I mean, I know that's the plan. I know that's the plan, and you know, maybe like I said, the veteran leadership from that coaching staff will help as well. I mean, you know, I know a lot of players don't know their football history, but that's a goat that's helping coach the defensive backs. I mean, and Rod knows everything. He's been there and he's done that, and he just raves about Khalil Mack to me. I mean, there's not enough adjectives, positive adjectives that comes out of the mouth from that point of view. So, like I said, I mean, look, you are what you are in the NFL, and what the Raiders are going to be, win or lose in Tampa, is above 500, the halfway point, out of the game. I mean, and you look at the rest of the league, you know, I think Buffalo loses this week to New England. That puts them at 500. Even if the Bengals somehow beat the Redskins in London, which would be a quality opponent that they have not shown of late for them to do, that would bring them to 500. The entire AFC South is going to be 500 maybe by the end of the weekend. If not, you know, I'm not scared of any of those teams. If the Raiders don't win their division because Denver might somehow take it over or Kansas City goes on a run like they did last year, I mean, Oakland is going to be right in the thick of the wild card hunt and maybe have to go to a place like Houston or Indianapolis and win a January road playoff game, which I think they absolutely can do. So all they got to do is just keep on keeping on with the way that they are playing and start winning the home games that they should. And I think they're in a really good shape to have a fun January for a fan base that's been starving for it.
Rich Eisen's our guest. Rich, Denver on Monday night. Simeon played good enough. Osweiler had an awful game. The Raiders play Houston in Mexico City. First Monday night game ever played outside this country. And I look at the AFC West. Just handicap it for me a little bit more because Kansas City in the rain really, I wouldn't say dominated, but they outplayed the Raiders. And Denver, even though Simeon's a quarterback, that defense on Monday night was ferocious. And Kansas City and both the Raiders to get there are going to eventually have to go through that Denver defense. Do you see it that way?
Well, I mean, look, to me, Houston's one of the more disappointing teams of 2016. And Osweiler's just clearly not ready for primetime. And I think the Raiders are going to have his lunch. Unless, you know, obviously, when is that game? It's not for another month.
Yeah, November 21st. Yep.
So you know, you never know what the team's going to look like by then. But as it currently stands right now, the Raiders, top to bottom, are a better, more talented team, certainly with J.J. Watt being out. So there's just, in terms of that game that you're saying, you know, that you're mentioning to be played in Mexico City. But the Chiefs are, you know, I'm they're just a very solid team. I mean, they always are with Andy Reid and have been with Andy Reid. You know, but they're ultimately beatable if you get in a points battle with them, which I think Oakland is better equipped to do than anybody else in that division. You know, Trevor Siemian right now is in the game managing school of quarterbacking. And why wouldn't he be? Because of that defense. And as long as that, you know, they can run C.J. Anderson and Devontae Booker for 160 yards, Siemian won't have to put it up more than, you know, 20 times a game. And last year, the Broncos won the Super Bowl getting from the both quarterbacks that combined Osweiler Manning 19 touchdowns and 23 interceptions. So all they got to do is get better than that, presumably, and they're going to be in a great run again. But the one team that can get everybody out of that because they're putting up a ton of points on the board in that division is Oakland, and also, got to be honest with you, San Diego. I mean, Phillip Rivers is a revelation, man. He is unbelievable.
Yeah, no doubt.
And it's just he does it with spit and polish every year because Keenan Allen can't stay healthy, and Antonio Gates the same thing. So, you know, and Melvin Gordon is suddenly in year two looking pretty special. Certainly more special than Todd Gurley, who he's in his running back class. So that's the way I look at it. It's like Oakland is better equipped to be in a track meet with teams that aren't equipped to be in a track meet. But when it all comes down to it, JT, you know, I'll be very honest, and I understand, you know, I'm talking to a Raider silver and black audience here. I think everybody's just really grist for the Tom Brady mill. that's it. It's the what I'm calling on my daily show, the TB12 FU Tour 2016. He's ready. And I don't know who is going to be going into New England and beating them on a January Saturday or Sunday. It might be Big Ben Steelers, maybe, but maybe, who knows, in the dream of dreams for this fan base, that Derek Carr and the Raiders take their ultimate big step forward and drop their huggies in a manner that nobody's expecting. But I don't see anybody knocking a healthy Tom Brady-led Patriot team from their perch.
We're wrapping it up with Rich Eisen, as you know, the host of NFL Network's NFL Game Day Morning, which airs every Sunday starting at 9 a.m. Eastern, as well as Thursday Night Football Game Day every Thursday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You mentioned Carr as we get set to wrap this up, his progression as a quarterback. Because, Rich, a lot of the people listening now, they want to see Bill Musgrave open this up all the time. They want to see Cooper, Crabtree. They want to see go routes and this team attacking downfield. You know, you cover football every day. You want to establish the run and be a balanced team. But do you like watching Carr when he's behind in these shootout games? He's amazing.
Oh, it's fun. It's fun, man. It's fun. This is what you, this is, I mean, it's, you tell me, you've been around. What would Al Davis think? I mean, this is his dream, right? I know that they're not maybe going vertical every play, but it seems to me that Cooper and Crabtree are getting the ball thrown their way a nice amount of times. I mean, I don't think they're hungry. I don't think they're going hungry, you know. And yeah, there's going to be some times where Latavius Murray is going to have to be dependent on the rest of that running attack. But you look across the entire league right now, okay? Let's just forget the entire league. Let's just go the AFC right now. And you look at the quarterbacks as they currently stand and toss in the upside with it. Who's better than Carr? I'm serious. I mean, yeah. You've got luck, but I would take Derek Carr over Mariota. I'd take Carr over Bortles. I would take Carr over Osweiler. I would take Carr over Dalton or whoever Cleveland is conjuring up. I'd take him over Flacco in terms of what he's doing now on the upside moving forward. The Jets are a mess. I take him over Tannehill. I take him over Tyrod Taylor. I take him over Garoppolo, who obviously is the guy who's next in line there. I take him over Siemian. I would take him over Alex Smith or whomever Andy Reid is grooming. Seriously. I mean, 100% I'd take him all right now. We could go to the NFC right now.
Yeah, I got it.
There, you know, and that's where some more of the more named quarterbacks are right now with Hall of Fame trajectory and pedigrees and some young quarterbacks there are that Carr might lose out in this game that I'm playing with you right now. But my word, I mean, if there are Raider fans that are saying, you know, that they got a problem with this offense, just look around or just look in your last few years of your history. This is great. This is fun. This is dynamic. This is exciting. And for years to come.
Rich, great talking to you. I love being your teammate on Fox Sports Radio. Continued success, and I hope to talk to you and see you soon.
Same here.
There he is, Rich Eisen, joining us on the official Raiders podcast. Great to talk to him again. He has a national perspective of what's going on and clearly understands that the Silver and Black are back. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions, beat the Buccaneers and get ready for the Broncos. I'm JT the Brick. This is the official Raiders podcast.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.